We are not having a normal type of series of messages at this point because I thought it would be good for us to emphasize some of the Baptist distinctives. And we went over that Baptist distinctives, but in light of a funeral and vacation, I think it's good for us to review that again. And so B stands for the Bible is the only rule of faith and practice, okay? That's so important, is that we always base our faith upon the Word of God. But it's not only important to have our faith based upon the Word of God, but it is important to practice the Word of God and to obey it and to live it. And so that's important what we're going to talk about tonight. A, of course, is the autonomy of the local church. We are an independent Baptist church. We have no headquarters that is over us. We make our decisions as a congregation, and that's certainly a blessing, and we see that in the Word of God as well. P is the priesthood of the believer. Certainly, I'm thankful that we have no go-between us and God except Jesus Christ, His Son. Amen? There's only one mediator. And then we also believe that there are two ordinances. The ordinances are different from sacraments. They're not a means of grace. They are just a symbol of the saving grace of Jesus Christ, a memorial that points out what Jesus Christ has done for us. And then we looked at the fact of immersion of believers only. We believe in believers' baptism. That is certainly something that is so important for us to see in Acts chapter 2 and verse 41. They that gladly received the word were baptized, and then they were added unto the church. And then we find that there is separation from the world in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 17. Certainly we're going to talk about tonight separation of church and state in Matthew chapter 22, verse 21. And then finally, two offices in the local church. We had that on our list as well, and that is the pastor and the deacons. Those are the scriptural offices that we find in the scripture. But I had a brilliant student from Ambassador Baptist College in North Carolina come up to me after the service, and he said, "Pastor, but we at college, we add an S." I said, "Well, what is the S?" He says, "It is a saved membership or a regenerate membership." In other words, those that belong to the church have to, first of all, give testimony that they know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And certainly I believe that goes along with immersion of believers only. But certainly that is a wonderful thing to add to that list as well. But tonight we want to look at some things in regards to practicing your faith. And I've just kind of given an outline, a brief outline that certainly doesn't cover all of the practice of the Baptist faith that is biblical. I often say that when I remember when I was a missionary in the Netherlands, we went over the Baptist distinctives, which are biblical distinctives, that we are biblicist Baptists. There are many different kinds of Baptists in our world today, but we want to be those that are true to the Word of God. And as I was there as a missionary, I was told that those were heretical beliefs to stand on the Word of God. And I said, "Well, let's sit down and let's talk about it." But there was no talking. And it was a very interesting time to try and help people, but unfortunately we were unable to help people. And so we endeavored to start a new work there in Holland, even though we were in language training. And I was thankful that the pastor of that work was sympathetic to us and was helpful in that as well. But tonight we want to talk about practicing your faith. And four areas. First of all, is trusting God. And I'm picking out different Baptist forefathers that are going to carry these four themes tonight. One is trusting God. The second one is obeying God. The third is standing for the truth of God. And the last is serving God. But we want to turn in our Bibles tonight to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I believe that that identifies what we're talking about here about trusting God. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, in verse 9, it says there, "Wherefore I suffer," Paul's talking here to young Timothy. He was in jail for preaching the gospel. And he says, "Wherefore I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound." We're going to talk about a Baptist forefather that was just like the Apostle Paul. He ended up in jail. There were a number of them that ended up in jail, but they continued to trust God in a very real way. And this man is probably familiar with most of you. In fact, I imagine that most of you are familiar with the name of John Bunyan. John Bunyan, of course, wrote Pilgrim's Progress that is world famous. And John Bunyan had quite a conversion when he trusted God. And I have a little book. In fact, it's a three-volume series. It's called This Day in Baptist History. And so that's what I'm going to tell you about, some of these different Baptist forefathers and how that they exemplified in their faith their practice. We find John Bunyan. He was a man who certainly was not a believer in the beginning days. He was a tinkerer, a repairer of pots and pans and so on and so forth. But in his day, laymen and clergy, renowned for learning and piety, for the opposing view of the court, and the view of the court was that unless you put your a stamp of approval on the Church of England and attended their church, you were an outcast, and you were one who needed to be persecuted and put down. And so those that stood against the court in England, they had many times their ears cut off, their noses slit, faces branded with red-hot irons. They were publicly whipped on the naked body, every lash bringing away the flesh. And they were imprisoned with such cruelties that when released, they could neither hear, see, nor walk. These cruelties were followed by a desolating civil war, which overwhelmed the country with demoralization and debauchery. And that was the time in history that John Bunyan lived, where these preachers were being persecuted, and yet there it had left the nation in a total state of moral decline. Certainly, that was a tremendous time there in England of persecution. The village of Elstow, 1 mile from Bedford, was the place of Bunyan's birth into a family of tinkers, which Bunyan himself described as a being of that rank that is meanest and most despised of all the families in the land. His father, in an age when very few of the poor families were taught to read and write, John was put in school, and he learned and forgot both almost utterly. Having warm light and a frolicsome heart, Bunyan was drawn into sins, principally lying, swearing, profaning the Sabbath. He experienced the agonies of conviction of sin over a long period of time, to the extent of dreaming frightful dreams, hearing warning voices, and reading his doom in letters of fire. He had several close brushes with death. Bunyan married a very poor but pious woman. She encouraged him with two books in her possession. The first book was The Plain Man's Pathway to Heaven. The second was The Practice of Piety. Can you imagine this man who was nothing but pious reading those books? But certainly he had a wonderful wife that God gave him. And through this, he regained his ability to read. His wife's affectionate tenderness became a blessing to him, and his rugged heart was softened, and he felt alarm of salvation of his soul. Another woman of an entirely different character, whom he described as loose and an ungodly wretch, heard his oath and protested to him that he swore and cursed at a more fearful rate, that she trembled to hear him even speak, and that he would spoil the rest of the youth of the town. That experience, linked with his overhearing conversations of three poor godly women about the new birth, alarmed him about his perilous state and brought him a great struggle of mind and soul. Those dear women introduced him to a Baptist preacher, John Gifford. Under Gifford's instruction, Bunyan was driven to the Bible and experienced the quickening power of the Holy Spirit. And so we find that John Bunyan received the grace of God in those days. We also can go on and talk a little more about John Bunyan. During the restoration of Charles II, he was introduced to the Reign of Terror and of suffering upon the dissenters of England. During this time, John Bunyan was afflicted by the decease of his beloved wife and mother of his four children. God in his mercy gave him a second wife who proved to be the most devoted and heroic woman in the hour of greatest need. While preaching to a small congregation at Samsel, Bunyan was arrested November the 12th, 1660, and hurried to the Bedford Jail, located in one of the central piers of a bridge. One can hardly realize the miseries experienced when a pious men and women were taken to such dens and thrust in, as Bunyan was, with the most depraved kind of felons. The judge declared in sentencing him, "You must be had back to the prison and lie there for 3 months, and then if you do not submit to go to church to hear divine service and leave your preaching, you must be banished from the realm. And after that, if you be found in this realm without special license from the king, you must stretch by the neck for it, I tell you plainly." Do you know what Bunyan's response was? He said, "If I were out of prison today, I would preach the gospel again tomorrow." You talk about practicing your faith. John Bunyan had the courage to stand up for the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. John Bunyan suffered in that jail, in the Bedford Jail, for the next 12 years, and probably saved his life because many of the Baptist preachers in those days were so persecuted that they became martyrs. But in his incarceration, certainly he would did not deny the lordship and ultimate authority of Jesus Christ over his life by ceasing to preach and accepting the licensure of the state. And during this time, he wrote a number of books. One was The Holy City, Christian Behavior, The Resurrection of the Dead, and one that I have, Grace Abounding to the Chief of Sinners, and The Immortal Pilgrim's Progress. Prison walls may constitute God's open door to the world. Amen? Here was a man who lived his faith, and his faith spread out through the world. And it's so interesting, Pilgrim's Progress. John Bunyan debated publishing it, and many people told him that it ought not to be published. But John Bunyan finally decided that this is what God had done in his heart, and he wanted that testimony to go out, and it has gone out to the entire world. The Word of God is not bound tonight, folks. So certainly there's more to the story. I don't know how many of you have heard the story about his blind daughter, Mary, and I don't have time to go into that, but she would visit her dad in jail, and she would feel his cheeks because she wanted to feel the tears that were streaming down his face and his compassion and his love for his family and lost souls. And certainly that was quite a thing. And John Bunyan on a mission, it was just so exciting to just study his life in this day in Baptist history. He had the opportunity to go to preach to London before he died, to thousands of people. God gave him that opportunity when he was released from jail. And he died on a mission trying to reconcile a young man who had wandered away from his family and God. And he died on that mission, going to London in a storm. And so we see that. But I want to go on quickly to the second one. We not only ought to practice our faith by trusting God like John Bunyan did, but we also ought to practice our faith by obeying God. I have a wonderful biography, and I think some have asked to read it. I think Roger read To the Golden Shore, and it is the story of missionary Adoniram Judson. Adoniram Judson was a missionary to the Burmese people, and the text that I have for that, as I think about it, I think is well illustrated by Adoniram Judson's life, is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. He obeyed God. He surrendered his life to serve God and went to serve in Burma for some 33 years in very difficult circumstances. And certainly he had his wives died, and he went through many hardships. Many of their children died as well, but he was faithful. In fact, he married in his second wife after his first wife died. He married Sarah Boardman. Sarah Boardman and George Boardman were missionaries amongst the Karens. The Karens, many hundreds of them came to know the Lord, but the Burmese people were hard to reach. But Adoniram Judson stayed faithful before he had his first convert after 7 years. Amazing testimony of what he did. And then in 1845, after 33 years, he came back to the Triennial Baptist Convention in those days, and the convention was in trouble because the churches were apathetic. Folks, it is a burden on my heart is that we do not let the lighthouse go out in this church. Amen? Amen. We must continue to stand and not be apathetic. And sometimes we look at our numbers and we say we are small. But that means nothing when we have the power of God. Certainly, we have prayed, and certainly Adoniram had prayed for those Burmese people and that people and the Triennial Convention. He came to that point where they said, we don't have funds to continue the mission in Burma. Adoniram Judson was told by doctors not to use his voice. But at that convention, he said, the Burmese mission must go on. And the Triennial Convention said, yes, we'll put our money there. And what a wonderful thing that was. But as I think about Berean Baptist Church and the 11 years that I have been here, one of the great burdens that I have had is for our young people. You don't see those young people in the pews tonight. But it almost gave me tears when I was thinking about this message. We have Krista, married to a tent maker in Boston, working alongside one of our supported missionaries, Bill and Deb Edmondson, who are reaching out to Boston and beyond in international ministries with numbers of Chinese and Islamic people. That's Brother Dave and Judy's oldest daughter. We have Kimberly tonight in Peru, teaching in Fetzer Academy, missionary children. We have Kaylee, who has said that all she ever wanted to be was to serve as a missionary. We have had faith students here, has been mentioned, Caleb Lobb, Sarah Klein, who married Sam Jones and pastoring in Hudson, Wisconsin, and Caleb pastoring the church that his father pastored for many years before he went home to be with the Lord. Right now we have David and Jennifer Smith at Ambassador Baptist Church. One of the burdens that I've had on my heart is that God would call our young people to obey God and to surrender their lives and serve Him. Amen. Has God been gracious to Berean Baptist Church in the last 11 years? Absolutely. And folks, we better never forget that is the power of God, and we better not forget those servants of God, but stand behind them and pray for them and help them and encourage them. Moving on. Just before I talked about intercession a little bit this morning, but Jeremiah 33, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not, and God has done it. Practice our faith also by standing for the truths of God. Believers' baptism by immersion is something that Baptist forefathers have stood for faithfully. I have told the story recently at our Patriotic Sunday about John Crandall and Obadiah Holmes and John Clark. John Clark was the pastor. Obadiah Holmes was a faithful man of God, John Crandall as well. And they refused to accept any infant baptism. They were living in the area of Boston, Massachusetts. They were called to trial, and it was considered a capital crime if you did not baptize infants and believe that infants could be the covenant children of God and on their way to heaven. And as a result of that, these men, three men, they were faithful to stand for believers' baptism, and that salvation is only by the new birth, not by water and baptism. Folks, you can go back in this baptistry, you can get all wet, and you can go in there as a sinner, dry sinner, and you can come out as a wet sinner. Yeah. Only Jesus Christ can save our soul. Amen. We need to put our trust, and Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And so that's so important. Obadiah Holmes, he was literally whipped until he was flayed to the point where he could not sleep on a bed. And yet God gave him the grace to be faithful in his persecution. There is also the story told of a preacher in the South by the name of Shubal Stearns. Has anybody ever heard of Shubal Stearns? I had never heard of Shubal Stearns till I read This Day in Baptist History. But he was a man who came under the preaching of George Whitefield in the Great Awakening here in America. And he came to Christ and accepted him. But George Whitefield was a Pedobaptist. He believed in infant baptism. But Shubal Stearns, after reading the Bible and being influenced by the teaching of some Baptists, he came to the point where he said that he was going to be a part of what was called the Separates in that day. And he went into an area, and Sandy Creek there in, I believe, North Carolina. And he was a man who established many Baptist churches as a result of that. But it was interesting that what George Whitefield had to say about these Separate Baptists. He said, all my chickens have become ducks. certainly these men certainly took their stand, and I wish I had time to read all of the history of that, but I need to keep going here tonight. They were men who took their stand on religious liberty. And in This Day in Baptist History, there is an article about when the IRS collected taxes for churches. In fact, you could be sent to prison if you were not willing to support the colony's state religion, especially there in Massachusetts. And so Roger Williams, who established Rhode Island as the colony and established a freedom of religion in that colony, certainly put together a compact and did that so well, that taught that we needed to have freedom of conscience and not a persecution for our beliefs. Folks, I picked up a magazine this last week, and it had an article about scientific socialism. Scientific socialism is trying to eliminate God from our society. And if scientific socialism has their way, we will be silenced, they think. Okay? But God give us the grace to be a Roger Williams. God give us the grace to be an Isaac Backus, who was a Baptist, who stood for religious freedom. And John Leland, who influenced a man by the name of James Madison. And as a result of that, we have the freedom to exercise our religion. In fact, that came up in the Virginia House, their state house, that they wanted to have, they had so influenced James Madison that when it came up in the House and they were talking about a bill of toleration, he said, no, we will have no bill of toleration. We will have a bill of freedom of religion, the free exercise of religion, the free exercise of conscience. And certainly, separation of church and state, as and John Leland and Isaac Backus, they influenced men like James Madison, Thomas Jefferson, and Patrick Henry. And as a result, we have the First Amendment in the Bill of Rights today. And so they stood for the free exercise of religion according to the dictates of one's conscience. But I have one more that I want us to just consider here briefly. And I had never heard until I read This Day in Baptist History about a woman by the name of Elizabeth Gaunt. Elizabeth Gaunt lived in the days of Charles II, like Bunyan, and she was a woman who had a heart for these dissenters and had a concern and had believed in the Baptist principles as well. And so she would take in all of these Baptist dissenters, and she would take them and shelter them in her home so that they would not be caught and taken to prison and executed or whatever. And she took in one person one day, but she did not know that it was a trap. And this person went to the authorities of the king, and Elizabeth was arrested as one who was guilty of treason because she had not done what the state had mandated that all people follow the state religion of the Episcopalian Church there in England. So they took her and they told her, they tried her, and they sentenced her to die by fire at the stake. William Penn and the Quaker saw Elizabeth lay straw about her for a speedy burning and witnessed her behavior that was in such a way that all the spectators were moved to tears. Not knowing whether she would have strength at the stake to speak because of the weakness from her imprisonment, Elizabeth left her epistle in which she wrote, "Neither do I find in my heart the least regret at anything I have done in the service of my Lord and Master Jesus Christ, in securing and succoring or helping his poor sufferers that have showed favor to his righteous cause." Thank God not only for godly men that have been amongst the Baptists, but also for women like the wife of Judson as well as Elizabeth Gaunt. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for your word. We thank you for those that have faithfully practiced it. Father, by trusting you, by obeying you, by standing for you, and Father, even serving you under difficult circumstances. Oh God, I pray that by your grace, that you would help us as a people of God to practice the faith that we believe in, no matter the price. And oh God, we pray for those young people that have gone from this church, are serving you, in different areas, Father, that you would help them to be faithful and loyal to you all the days of their life, and that you would make them fruitful. In Jesus' name, amen.